You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, Jennifer and Anne.
Hello.
Hey, guys. do you use guys as like a male, female?
Sure.
Yes, but...
All right.
But I'm usually saying y'all.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
From this, we are from the South.
The South. Okay. There was something about. I remember saw this play once about these Canadian people, and they go to some island, and there's a Texas guy, and he keeps saying y'all, and and he keeps trying to take advantage of them. So they're like, maybe y'all is Texan for stupid or something, you know. I don't know, you must think they're stupid. I don't know.
No, with the students, I've been using guys just because,
I usually use that
with
my students, too.
Which, y'all or guys?
Both, actually.
Okay.
when I'm addressing them,
all right.
I say guys.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm just talking about them to them, I say
okay.
Y'all.
Y'all, okay. All right, man. You know, at Starbucks, it's their, what's their eighth birthday? And they have, but they have this like sort of poster to sort of promote it, and it's like two coffee cups, and they got the little TH like eighth up near the, you know, the first, the top coffee cup. The two cups are supposed to form an eight, but for the longest time, I would only see the first coffee cup, my eyes. So I kept reading it as the zeroth birthday, and I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. It's got to be coming up around maybe 10 years in Korea, but I couldn't find a one, you know. And then it took me like about a week before I finally saw the coffee cup on the bottom. Probably because the top one is sort of white and the bottom one's kind of black.
Yeah, they don't look connected.
Exactly. Like, they should have made them both white, I think. Like, the liquid inside the cup or something.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
More standout-ish.
So, yeah. But, you know, Starbucks, now they're, you know, you're... Your yogi, if you want it for here, yogi, the mug jun.
Glass.
Is that what it means? Okay. All right. Glass mug. All right. Because they also say mug cup.
Yeah. Well, a mug glass and a mug cup.
Mug cup. Yeah, which...
Same.
Yeah. My students are trying to teach me the, you know, like my students are trying to lecture me about Starbucks, the proper lingo. But anyway, you know, they're trying to lecture me. So I'm like, no, it's a mug a jung. Because if you say mug a cup, you're just kind of saying mug a cup. It's the same thing.
Well, same with John. That's just Korean.
Yeah, it's like saying shorts pants or something.
Yeah, it is.
Shorts pants or pants shorts or something.
Yeah, but they just mean it like, do you want a mug or a go cup?
Yeah.
Because you have to pay for the go cups.
Yeah. But the, more about that later. But now that for the iced beverages, they have a really fancy kind of plastic glass, like for here glass, which looks really, really cool. And I keep thinking, I'm going to steal one.
Yeah.
But
especially here where you're like 80 floors up from the cashier who could see you
sticking
in your bag.
Yeah. But usually I get the tall size, but the grande size is a good milk drinking size for home. Holds a nice amount of beverage.
And that is what you have to think about when you're ordering something in order to steal the dishes.
Exactly. So I keep ordering the grande. And you know, and you gotta the things that come in not in the mugs, like the coffee, but the iced beverages, those are pretty expensive. $5-6, you know? And so last couple days I've been ordering them, trying to get the glass. But the first place I went, they got it mixed up and they put it in a to-go cup.
How dare they!
And here, this Starbucks, they went and they put in just a big
mug.
Yeah, some like.
They looked into your soul.
I know.
And they saw the dishonesty there.
I know. There must be something about it. They're like, so this is getting really expensive, and this little plan of stealing something. I don't know.
Your brilliant plan. You could have bought one.
Sure. I know. Yeah. So, and my friend was sort of like, it's like, you know. Isn't that kind of dishonest, stealing those glasses? Because she knows about my little Burger King for your cup mix-up. And I used to honestly think they were promotional cups. You know when you go to Burger King, they put it in a plastic tumbler glass?
Here, the plastic cups are meant to be left when you leave.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not something you keep.
Yeah, it's not like just like a promotional collector cup.
Right.
Yeah. Which would be in North America. If it came in a plastic tumbler, you would think, oh, it's a promotional thing. Yeah. It took me a long time to figure out, oh, it's just recycling, right? You know, that I just, because I, you know, I'm like, well, you know, there's no stormtroopers on this,
right.
Or, you
what
know, like Shrek or something. Yeah, it was just Burger King. And I'm like, and Burger King's not that new in Korea that they would have to just be promoting themselves. And then eventually I figured it out. So my friend is kind of like, you know those are for here cups. You know you can't.
You know this.
Yeah, you don't.
Well, it did take them a couple of months to put up signs.
That's true, yeah.
But signs then, for what?
To leave the cups.
Ah. Yeah.
But then I sort of said to her, I'm like, you know what? I promote Starbucks enough on my podcast. I think they owe me one. I'm sort of justifying it that way. You know, like the same justification you use for stealing from your employer, you know, raiding the supply cabinet and those sort of things. Yeah. I've always made sure whenever I'm laid off from a company that I steal things that will make no difference in my life. So
take that.
Yeah. I remember my tech software company, I took the emergency blanket from the first aid kit.
And
awesome. Then, yeah. And then my .com, they gave me a 1 month's notice. Month and a half notice.
Wow, they gave you lots of time to scope out the
yeah. Sarbanes-Oxley. I'm probably the only person on the face of the earth that loves Sarbanes-Oxley. It's sort of a bunch of paperwork companies have to do, compliance for the stock market. What was that big fallout in the stock market years ago? Brought down one of the big accounting firms.
Enron,
yeah. And then the Sarbanes-Oxley all came in, and then it just required the accounting department at my company to do all this paperwork. And they're like, you want to hang around for a month more, Carl, and do the paperwork? All right. So, yeah. So I love Sarbanes-Oxley. But that gave me a month to steal Sharpies.
Sharpies.
Yeah. But not the Korean sharps, but just the black magic marker sharps and staplers. And so I just, I don't know how many staplers I stole, but this was like a huge layoff. You know, they laid off like 10% of the company. And so there were a lot of empty offices. And so I just would go to the empty offices and look through drawers and, ooh, stapler, sharp.
Ooh, a desk organizer.
Exactly, yeah. But someone actually stole a flat screen television from one
goodness.
Of the boardrooms. Yeah.
That's pretty shameless. And how did they even manage that?
Well, you know, it was brilliant, actually. And this was like 2003.
Oh, so that would have been really expensive.
Yeah, those weren't cheap. And it was, you know, plasma, one of the plasma things. Well, what they did was, it was brilliant. All the floors had security cameras, okay? And you had to sort of, you know, badge in, badge out, all right?
Not to mention carry a big lumbersome piece of electronics that cannot be dropped under any circumstances.
But someone figured out that from the boardroom to the freight elevator, there was no security cameras, and you did not have to badge out.
Because the freight, that would be people who did not necessarily work for the company.
Exactly. So so they grabbed the big screen TV from the boardroom. And then this is the part I thought was brilliant. They hung up a sign saying, you know, TV removed by facilities for repair will be back soon. And then,
so
it would take a while for, you know, people to sort of notice that it was actually gone. So, you know, by then, if there was any security camera footage, maybe it would be scrubbed, you know?
Wow, yeah. They planned that well.
Yeah, it was very, very well planned. So
That took a bit of bitterness, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, so...
I hate you enough to risk a felony.
but this is this is Soul Survivors, not .com Survivors. So I guess we should talk about Korea.
Yeah.
You got anything you kind of want to generally talk in the introduction about, or weather? You're enjoying the breezes?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish it would stay.
Today's weather is very nice.
Really?
So far today.
But it's kind of rainy, cloudy.
Yeah, well, it's cool and breezy, though.
Yeah.
All right.
It reminds me of hurricane season, like, before the hurricane actually comes.
Yeah, I gotta remember. You are from Louisiana.
Yeah.
All right. I gotta correct myself. You know, Louisiana isn't all that close to Disney World, is it? You got your Louisiana.
Right. Mississippi, and then, Georgia, Alabama, Florida.
All right. Okay, you gotta go,
and
yeah.
And then down Florida.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like... You know, like someone in coming to Toronto and going, you know, how far to Vancouver? It's not that far, is it?
No, but yeah. It might be, you know, maybe Toronto to Montreal. Maybe?
Really? I was looking at a map and it looked pretty far. I forgot a couple states. I thought it was Louisiana, Florida, but I guess
the others don't matter.
The other ones just don't matter.
Yeah, there's a couple. What's along the Gulf there? There's Louisiana, then you go east, and then there's
Mississippi,
and then you go east. There's
Alabama.
Really?
Oh. And then Georgia.
And then really?
Did you hit Georgia?
Along the Gulf Coast.
Isn't
it? I'm just thinking the Gulf Coast.
Doesn't a little bit of a touch?
We've not lived on that continent for such a long time, Jennifer. What does it matter?
Georgia doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I forgive you. Anyway, all right.
Yesterday was the second day of sun since I've been here.
Second actual day you've seen the sun, right? Wow.
Yeah.
Because yesterday was supposed to be all sort of crazy rainy,
yeah.
But then we had...
Well, the crazy rain that we had earlier last week, actually, down south, they had 3 times as much. A couple of people died in, like,
mudslide type. Busan around there?
God.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. One was a farmer who went down to his rice fields for some reason.
Okay.
Like, he felt the need to check on his rice fields in the middle of a storm.
Okay.
Because he can't, you know, like... It's not going to get worse during the rest of the storm.
Because water is bad for rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well, probably if it goes completely underwater.
Sure, okay.
You know, I don't know. I have no idea. Rice, major crop of Louisiana, FYI.
Really?
I have no idea of what rice needs to be healthy or not.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, the guy decided to go down and check on his rice field, and he drowned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
And 2 other people... I want to say they were on a mountain, and they slid down and died.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because usually there's, every summer there's always some huge, nasty flood someplace, but I haven't really seen any...
Yeah, when we used to get AFN, they had the best PSA about it. Because, you know, instead of advertising, they have PSAs.
Right, yeah.
And they had a really great one that would show, I want to say, like, an upside-down car with a dumpster on top of it or something like that. Like the water had been, like, so extreme that it lifted all of those things up and reorganized them.
Okay. Oh, man. Our snack of the week. I noticed you guys bought some muffins. Our snack of the week.
Yeah, we haven't had breakfast, so sorry.
Bita chija.
Yeah.
Dalgi. Bita, that's a vitamin cheese. Strawberry flavored processed cheese.
That really, I think they have hit the trifecta of things that make Jennifer gag.
You don't want to try some, Jennifer? Ooh, it comes in this nice little
package. I will try the ever so tiniest portion in the assumption, the hope that by cheese they mean yogurt.
It's not yogurt.
It'll turn up.
It's not yogurt.
It's not?
It's kind of like
cheese.
Gum.
Kind of like gum. That's what you want from cheese. If you want it to be gum-like. Oh yeah, this is pretty not good.
Oh yeah, all right.
You know, I'm not a big fan of fake strawberry flavor of anything, but this is like, it tastes like rancid yogurt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not really fully good, is it?
No. It is sort of lacking in the deliciousness factor. Speaking of things lacking in the deliciousness factor, yesterday we were in Insadong because, as a tourist, Anne is obligated to go there to All buy right. souvenirs. And we went into the, you know, the main shop right up by Topco Park?
Mm-hmm.
You know where they have the guy in the farmer hanbok with the huge mortar and pestle?
Yep.
Well,
it's like the souvenir, National Souvenir Center.
Yeah, right. Well, we go in there, and you know, like, they're all sort of hucksters in there, because they've all basically got the same stuff at the same price, and they've got to get you to buy their version.
So one of them latched on to us.
Yeah, one of them latched on, and they had the Jeju orange chocolate, which is really good, so I was like, you have to get some of that. Well, then, they've also, like, I don't think they really... were trying to think of delicious kinds of chocolates. I think they were trying to think of Korean kinds of chocolates. So, in addition to the Jeju orange chocolate, they have kimchi chocolate.
Right, yes, okay.
Which Anne bought some. And the gochu chocolate, the red pepper chocolate, which, actually, I have heard of red pepper chocolate from other places, but I did buy some last time I went home, and that one was somewhat lacking in deliciousness. It was not horrible, like I imagine kimchi chocolate would be. And the woman, seeing that Anne has this armful of chocolate, is like, and we also have more interesting seaweed chocolate. And I liked the fact that although Koreans love to use the word delicious, and it's, you know, and for emphasis, very delicious, ultra delicious, you know, whatever. No, she could not even bring herself to say it's kind of delicious. It was interesting. More interesting. More interesting seaweed chocolate. Right. I don't really want to eat interesting chocolate.
And this was like from the back, this chocolate?
No, it was proudly displayed as a tourist product.
All right.
But Anne did end up getting some of the Daejeongum chocolate, which has nothing to do with the show other than having... pictures, like stills on the box.
What was the show?
The Daejeongum, the court cooking
soap opera.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's the huge one.
I haven't either, but my friends love it. So
when was it?
Oh, it was running for a long time, but it was the one with the court cook that sort of brought back like the court style food back into favor.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like all the culture centers teach the court cooking classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I missed that.
Yeah.
I only started paying attention to Korean dramas. It's the Paris baguette, whatever cardboard cutout they have out in front of Paris baguette.
Lovers in Paris, maybe?
Yeah, things like that. Then I begin to go like, oh, this is connected to some KBS drama. Yeah. What's going on? You know, that's the only kind of I tend to sort of pay attention.
Yeah, I used to really like one on Arirang, but then we lost Arirang, so I couldn't watch it anymore.
Jeez. You got the worst cable system.
Actually, we have good stuff. We just don't have AFN or Arirang.
Right.
But other than that, we've got some pretty good channels.
All right.
I certainly am spoiled for a choice of how to waste my time, TV-wise.
All right.
And I've never had cable, so I don't know what I'm missing.
Yes, in my family, we were cable-deprived. And I still bear the scars.
Main topic. This is kind of your topic suggestion, Jennifer. Oh, I should mention that the strawberry cheese was kind of a listener suggestion.
Thanks.
But yeah, it wasn't so much a strawberry cheese. She was talking about there was some sort of chocolate processed cheese.
Oh my God. See, now that would have been even worse.
Yeah.
So thank you, Carl, for going ahead and getting the less bad.
Yeah, I went to look for that and I couldn't find it at my little Lotte Mart. But yeah, but I thought, ooh, strawberry, that's equally horrifying. Disturbing, yeah.
Mom, can I have a tuna and strawberry cheese sandwich?
Man, oh my. But our main topic is your suggestion, weird hagwons.
Hey. Is that my suggestion?
That was your suggestion, because it's summertime, so right? So the kids have free time, which is, you know, anathema.
See, I don't call them weird, I call them crazy.
How do you pronounce that? Anathema?
Yeah, something like that. Antithema. the get out of the house hog ones.
Yeah. That it free time and Korean youth is not the,
no,
those things do
enemies.
Not,
yeah, the, mortal those, mortal enemies.
Those so words do not go together. So yeah. So the kids have, you know, oodles of time a month. So and of course they have their normal academy hagwon that you know they come to us, but now they have all this extra time.
Special.
Yeah. So so instead of letting them, you know, run around in the park and play computer games and, you know,
blasphemy,
sleep
shut
until
your dirty mouth,
sleep until 2 p.m. and then wake up and, you know, watch reruns of Maud on Channel 50, you know, the things we enjoyed in our youth, you know.
Or Sponge to get some more great pseudoscience facts.
Yeah. Well, the parents send them to other hagwons,
yes,
other academies, and I like to do. I do like to quiz my kids, like, oh, you know, so it's summertime. What are you going to do? Are you going to play games and see your friends and go to the beach and, you know, knowing full well,
yeah. That's so you're not just rubbing it in their faces.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's not like they don't bend over backwards to make my life easy. So, yeah. So why should I?
Oh, I remember when I was your age, yeah. And I would just get so bored by the end of summer, and I would dream of school starting again just to have something to do.
Yeah. But then I also do like to print them out pictures of Atari 2600 games. That's one little exercise I like to do, is like print out screens of Atari 2600 games and then have like the names of the games. Tennis, football, you know, things like that, right? And then get them to
things
try.
Things that you will never do.
Yeah. Well, but then try to get them to sort of match. The,
right, because the sport does not in any way represent, you know, what you see on the screen.
Yeah, the big blocky.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A square football.
Yeah. That green square is the fabulous dragon of Toknar. And the little yellow thing, that's your stout Viking warrior.
What is this game?
Atari. Oh, geez, Ed.
Yes.
The Atari 2600.
The one that I wished we had, but yeah. In addition to not having cable, we did not have games either.
The Atari, it was just, you know, like, computers today have, like a 512 megabytes of RAM, you know, a gigabyte of RAM. The Atari 2600 had 4K of RAM. And 4K, I mean, that's like
Commodore 64. That was an awesome machine back in my day.
Yeah, that was 64K. Yeah. But I mean, 4K, that's about, you know, that's about a page of text, 4K.
Yeah.
So necessarily our games weren't that. It wasn't like playing, I don't know.
These days are like one step short of a hologram.
Yeah, I know. Right. I look at the games today, I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
How much time you could have wasted.
Yeah. So, so the poor kitties, they're now forced into, for their free time, they're now, their whole days and nights are literally occupied, like, from, you know, waking till sleeping with hagwons.
And right.
What are some of the strange hagwons?
Well, when I first came to Korea and I first saw Paduk hagwon, I thought that was pretty lame. Paduk.
That's the game.
Like, yeah, the Korean chess.
Go. Yeah, go. Oh. With the little white and
black and white squares,
right.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Othello.
Yeah, I would think that you could just watch the Paduk channel on TV.
Right.
But, or, you know, play with someone in your family. But no, they have actual Paduk hagwon, but Those were early days in my knowledge of Korea. I've got kids now who go to Magic Hagwon, which I think at least they're having fun.
Magic, okay.
They learn really, really lame magic tricks.
All right.
Like, of the sort that you would get in, like, a magic kit.
Okay.
And that you could learn from a video.
Okay. Uh-huh.
They actually go to Hagwon to learn. I think the all-time one that takes the cake, the get out of the house because I don't want to see you Hagwon, is Mandulgi Hagwon, translates to making things Hagwon.
Oh, okay.
Which is basically a craft Hagwon.
Right. Mandulda, that's to make.
And the gi is like the noun-ish form. Okay. Making things, So I think that's really just, I can't bear to be a parent, so go to Hagwon, kind of Hagwon.
Do they go to these extra Hagwons, like, every day, or?
Yeah. Some of my students go on Sunday. Some of my young students go until midnight.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I, I thought that was illegal.
It is illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
It's illegal to go past 10, but right. I think what they do is just maybe make sure there's no lights on in the windows.
Okay.
So either they blacked out the windows or maybe they don't use classrooms that have windows at that time.
Right, right, yeah. So my Hagwon rather proudly for the summer sort of promotes a, you know, 9-to-9 sort of schedule. You know, parents, you could just drop your kids off here at 9 a.m. and not have to deal with them until 9 p.m.
Oh my God.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my students, I feel really bad for them. Like, I'm giving them way less homework than I'm supposed to.
Oh, okay.
Like, if I get caught, I'll probably get in trouble.
Right, okay.
But my students, in one class this week, they're going to be reading about 75 pages in a novel a night.
No, really?
That's for 30 minutes of class time out of 2 hours of class time.
All right.
So the other reading part will only take them about 20 minutes, though.
Okay.
But then they've got another hour of class that has attendant homework, which changes by day.
75 pages for another language.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's a night.
Yeah, a night.
Is that one book or multiple books?
4 books in 5 weeks. Yeah, not graded readers, actual full-strength chapter books.
Right.
Yes. And I would just point out that intended for at least high school students.
Okay.
And these are elementary and middle school students.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you, last week you had a problem with homework, finding out. Equilibrium point for their homework. You're giving them too much. You're giving them too little. Have you found the?
Well, I have made points to reduce some of the homework. I haven't heard any things from parents this week. So.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully, it's getting better for the kids.
All right, man. And my favorite weird Hagwon is the Lego Hagwons.
Yeah. But then, I mean, like, I kind of do appreciate it. At least they can have some fun.
Yeah.
It's just, like the Craft Hagwon, that's something you do at home with your family.
Okay.
You know, like, to make them go somewhere to play.
Right.
When their entire life is completely scheduled, that really is just, like, one more kick in the face.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sort of like a, you know, institutionalized play.
Yeah, it really is.
You're paying money for them to play when you could just give them
Legos.
Yeah. Well, one thing I kind of notice is, you know, a lot of my friends with you know, little kids, like, you know, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, that when we go out and they bring their children, they don't bring toys for them.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Yeah, that's sort of weird. So I always bring toys with me for their children.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I don't know. Cause
and everyone benefits from that.
I don't know. But, the Lego Hagwons. I'm always worried, though. Is it, because, you know, they use the Lego logo, and I'm like, is that really, because, the Lego company is, like, they are litigious, like, crazy. You know, like, they were even going around suing web pages. Like, Lego, people would make web pages devoted to their Lego creations, like, you know.
Wow.
Oh, and they'd get sued for having pictures of their Lego creations.
Yeah, it's like, I took up my whole bedroom and built a battle star out of Lego, and then they would put that
you're
up.
Sued.
And then, yeah, and then Lego would sue them, you know, like threaten
like
to sue
some
them.
Some people would see that as free advertising.
No, well, not the Lego Corporation. They're very, 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 very litigious.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's a plastic block with little things on top where you can clip another plastic block. It's not rocket science. Anybody can copy that. So their only hope is to sue everybody's ass, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I always wondered those Lego Hagwons are fully legal. But, you know. Hey.
Some of them go to some fun ones, like Mad Science or...
Oh, yeah.
Like, some of them go to Hip Hop Hagwon.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Which I think is really funny.
Wow. there's one I see on my walk to the subway. It's called... But Banana Island, and Banana Island, and it has pictures of these two kids, and they're like wearing chef hats, and they've got like rolling pins, and
some of my kids go to Baking Hagwon,
that's
and they bring
good.
Us treats,
that's a good Hagwon,
because
you were saying that ovens aren't,
and most of my students have ovens though, because they all live in
but
a nice
I guess
apartment.
You were saying when I was teaching a story about a bakery, you were like, none of them are going to know, have ever experienced baking bread or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's cool that they go to Baking Hagwon.
And I always think, well, I'd love to get a job, because I like to cook and stuff like that, but I'm like, I'd like to get a job there, but somehow I just don't think the what they're teaching there is going to equal the picture. I don't know. You know,
I don't know. My kids that go to Baking Hog One love it. They bring in great treats.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I would worry, as a teacher, Korea is like so phenomenally unsafety conscious.
Oh, right. Okay.
That anything that involves like cutting implements.
Right.
Fire.
Maybe mixers even, where hair could get somehow caught, or an oven.
Right.
Anything that can any way cause an injury. Like, I just feel like you're going to have 800 kids in there and one adult. And it's just really a big recipe for disaster.
But I remember I did, I probably told the story before, I did one class, I did like cookie day, where we had baked cookies. And so I just mixed up some, you know, simple sugar cookie recipe, and then brought in my toaster oven and the dough, and then, you know, things to put, you know, put on your cookie, like you know, chocolate
chips.
You're
such a nice teacher.
M&M's, yeah, raisins, stuff like that. And but then it's got to be an educational element to this. So then I give them all a noun, you know, and then they have to make their cookie look like a noun. So if they car, they have to make a car looking cookie, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Which I thought that would be the instructions were obvious, right?
Yeah.
Cookie. Make your cookie look like a car, right? But 90% of the kids thought it was like modeling clay. They didn't understand that cookies are flat. To bake, you need them to be flat. You know?
So they tried to make it look
three-dimensional.
Like
yeah.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay, kids, that's not gonna bake. Yeah.
So the cup and a half of cookie dough.
Yeah.
Here's my car.
Yeah. But I mean, the idea was they would. Their noun would be kept secret, and they would make it, and then the kids had to guess what the cookie was, right? Again, sort of, you know, reinforcing, you know, making them dredge up in their little minds. That's a cha.
Sure, they loved that.
Car,
yeah.
They really did like it, and I mean, like, for a year and a half, they would beg me to do it again. And like, you don't know how messy that was.
Yeah, we had Halloween jack-o'-lantern day one time.
Oh yeah.
And that gave me nightmares for a really long time.
Okay, that was one of my suggestions for last Halloween, and then they overruled that, and I'm kind of glad actually now.
Let's just say, well, first of all,
knives
the students,
and mess.
Well, the head teacher, this is at my last school, the head teacher was in charge of the carving.
Okay.
The kids just had to basically scoop out the seeds.
All right.
That was their job.
Oh, okay.
They had to design what she was going to cut out and then scoop out the
inside.
Okay, all
right, okay.
For, I would say about a month, I was getting pumpkin goo out of various parts of my classroom.
Under the desk and
like all over the whiteboard, in the little whiteboard tray. Oh, it was just so disgusting.
Oh yeah, man. I remember one time, one of my students, she was really excited because, Monday or Saturday or something, you know, they go to school on Saturday, at a normal school. I think it was Saturday, and it was sandwich making day. They're going to learn to make sandwiches, which I guess you just take cookies as read, as like just, you know, it's like a guy should know how to drive a stick shift. It's guy knowledge. There's kid knowledge, which just you roll out a cookie, you know, and a sandwich, bread. And but now they were learning to make sandwiches. So I'm like, all right. And so I'm asking her questions, and she starts talking about, you know, her team.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a team? Like, one person's there, like, bread, ham, cheese, you know. And then they're like, I don't know how they have a team, like, to build a sandwich.
Is this the hog one?
No, this is like this is their elementary school.
Yeah, some of my students had to make sandwiches, and they had teams as well.
Yeah, a team.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And one of my students, instead of sandwiches, they made kimbap.
Oh,
because
okay.
You know, like how on earth could they possibly learn how to make kimbap?
Okay.
I mean, their moms probably only make it like once a week.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Yeah, my friend, her sister's in Japan. And she's studying Japanese, and she makes a lot of money teaching Japanese housewives how to make kimbap.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Which is, I guess you just think it's, well, it's a California roll or something, like, or, you know, futomaki or something. But I guess there's some slight
difference. They're just so anal there, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they just want to know to make it the real Korean way, and they will pay large bucks to, yeah.
What is the difference between kimbap and sushi?
You got me. Well, like the a futomaki or something.
Yeah. No, it's got the really disgusting processed ham.
Ah, right, okay.
Other than that, it's good. How mom made it.
Okay.
Yeah, it does have the processed ham.
Other than that, it's got good ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's got various vegetables.
Yeah.
A scrambled egg that's like scrambled flat and then rolled and then sliced.
Yeah.
And like cucumbers, carrots, greens, whatever vegetables they want to throw in.
Yeah. Basically, imagine a Japanese futomaki, and then take the contents of a U.S. Army 1950s ration packet, and then you mix.
Then
you literally would kind of, you know, like, okay, we got some spam, you know, we've got some processed cheese, we've got some mayo, the whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like tuna and kimchi kimbap. I will say.
Yeah, I like the chimchi.
But it's made the same way as sushi, right? In terms of rolling.
As far as I know,
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a very good kimbap maker. Mine really look bad.
Well, we've made it a few times at home, but I didn't know if that was, you know, the ingredients.
Mama's own way.
Right.
Well, my friend was in Japan. She was visiting her sister. And they live near a lake. And I guess it's like the fourth largest lake in Japan. That's third, but they tell each other it's the third largest lake. But I was, you know, Wikipedia doesn't lie. It's the fourth largest lake in Japan. But then they leave the in Japan part off, and then it has become like it is the third largest lake in the world, you know? And Caspian Sea, Superior, maybe.
Lake Victoria is up there.
I think Lake Ontario maybe next. I don't know. But So it was summer, so they went swimming. You know, she brought her bathing suit. And her sister lives on the second floor of an apartment. So overnight she left hanging, you know, on the balcony to dry.
Yeah.
She comes in the next morning. It's been stolen. Some Japanese salaryman is, you know, woman's bikini, and then climbed up to the second floor balcony, stole her bikini, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. They're, like, crazy about their underwear, though.
Yeah.
The vending machines that you can get the schoolgirl's underwear.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Including a photo of the girl wearing it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Pandy's girl is Pandy's girl.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Maybe she went to Japan or something. I don't know. Yeah. But, because, you know, you're to Japan, right? You know, like, instead of, like, the page 3 girl, you know, like, maybe in Canada, it's like a woman in a bikini. Well, in UK, it's like a, you know, topless woman. But, you know, in Japan, it's like, you know, the bondage page 3 girl. You know, she's all tied up with rope or something. And you know, people just are reading that on the subway as if it's nothing, you know? Like, I don't know. You know, I used to write for a newspaper that had the page 3 girl. And, you know, so I would open the paper to read my column and then, like, but I always had to sort of quickly page over the page 3 girl because I didn't want to seem like Byun-tae. I didn't want to look like a pervert. And I always thought, geez, that page could have, like, you know, Mars attacks Earth or something, and I would never know that news, you know, because I would just never look at that page. You know, but I'd be too embarrassed.
Some of the newspapers here, I think especially the sports newspapers.
Oh, right, yes.
They sort of verge on page 3-ness.
There was a big controversy about that a couple of years ago, I remember, because there's like a, you know, it's like February Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Like, there's nothing in the sports world going on.
Yeah.
And so here it's like there's those lulls, and they just kind of flip over to, like, you know, sex or something like that. They begin to run really racy photos.
Yeah.
And sometimes this involves us, you know, like, you know, foreign English teacher and a stable of housewives. He's, you know, real lurid pictures, and yeah, we make that news sometimes.
Lucky us.
Yeah. Any other crazy little hug ones?
Well, I've seen one. I don't think any of my students went to it. I think it was meant for adults, but it was gift wrap hog ones.
All right.
And I always kind of wondered, like, what is their gimmick to lure you back for that second month? You know?
Right.
Do they have advanced gift wrapping? Do they have ribbon tying?
It's like bridal magazines, you know? I'm like, you know, and you look at a bridal magazine, there's like, you know, 5-year subscription offers. And I'm like, who the hell would subscribe to, you know, for 5 years?
To a bridal magazine. Yeah. You just need the one issue.
No, any woman dating me, I guess, maybe would be like, I'll get married 5 years from now, honey. Just keep looking at that magazine. I don't know. But yeah, maybe it is realistic, actually, now that I think about that. But yeah. Ugh. But I did see one hog one. Not crazy in theme, but just more that, you know, that abuse of let's. It was called Let's Kids. Let's teach kids. Let's eat kids, you know. I don't know. I do that to my kids when they don't use a verb.
Yeah.
You know, I computer game. I killed a computer game. I ate a computer game. I kissed a computer game.
See, I always just go with R. You are a computer game?
Right.
Well, that's not bad either. All right.
In Korean news.
In the news. This one kind of freaked me out. It was there was a big protest. They want to ban foreign adoptions.
Yeah. That's a bunch of adoptees pushing that.
Yeah, which was kind of a bit strange. Like women who have given their babies up for adoption and adoptees.
Well, I think their point was not so much we don't want babies to be adopted, but to change the reason that so many babies are put up for adoption.
Right, yeah.
Which
yeah.
They did have some statistics, like over 70% of single mothers put their children up for adoption.
Yeah.
And they basically have no rights. Like, it's almost impossible for them to find their birth children.
Right. They don't even know what country they're being sent
to. Yeah, yeah. They're just gone.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And so I think their point is they want it to make it more socially acceptable for women to keep their baby.
Right, keep their babies.
Or more open adoption.
Yeah, encourage domestic adoption.
Yeah. With the 70%, is that like women who were married and then divorced?
No, single mothers.
Single mothers.
Unwed mothers.
Yeah. And I think that's a totally excellent idea that I think, you know, yeah, that women should, that the government should be able to support single mothers.
Yeah.
And you know, Koreans should definitely be encouraged to, instead of, and they made a note too in the article about, you know, instead of going to these fertility clinics and spending tens of thousands of dollars.
Adopt a baby.
There's, right. You know, there's a lot of, you know, healthy, beautiful Korean children to be adopted. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One of my students, an adult, once explained it to me that Koreans don't want to adopt a child that's not their blood.
Yeah. Bloodlines here are also
so strong.
Yeah.
Are so strong that it's like, you know, you'd be able to trace your bloodline back, you know, 10 generations, yada, 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 yada. Yeah, that's really...
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I always kind of feel like that's sort of male-driven. Like, I think that a woman who wants a baby is probably more open to it, to adoption, and also certainly as the one who would be undergoing all these horribly invasive, unpleasant procedures to possibly get pregnant.
Right.
You know? Like, I mean, fertility treatments, you know, when you're getting shots every day, self-injecting shots every day, and horrible mood swings and hormonal fluctuations and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, my one of my friends, she's a Korean adoptee, Liz, and she's in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I always say St. Paul because I can never remember.
Yeah,
Minneapolis and Minnesota is, one's a city, one's a state, Minneapolis. Minnesota. John explained polis, Greek for city. So Minneapolis is the city. Minnesota is the state. But I should actually contact her to see if she survived that bridge collapse, actually. I feel sort of bad. But my friend Liz, and she's a Korean adoptee. And now she's graduating medical school. She's going to go on to be a bone specialist. And you know, I'm sort of very pro-Korean adoption and foreign adoption. My friend, him and his wife keep trying to get pregnant. And now they're looking at the adoption route. And so I'm like, oh, you should adopt a Korean baby. And then they looked into it. And for some reason, I don't know, the government has a quota now.
Yeah, they have a quota. They've had a quota for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So, they were embarrassed.
Yeah. So it's kind of like an H-1B quota or something.
Wow.
No, they couldn't get the
quota for foreign adoption.
This year they were sort of screwed.
Instead of, you know, promoting keeping your child or domestic adoption, they just limited foreign adoption.
Yeah, but my only beef with the ban on foreign adoptions is, well, the intent's good. It has the danger of the government, you know, the government doing something half-assed, you know. No, they would never do that, you know what I mean? So that they're going to only do the first half, where, let's...
Yeah, it's banned, the end.
It's banned, you know, and then people are going to be like, okay, now do the other half. Well, we're studying it, you know what I mean? And then so they'll spin their wheels, and so it's going to... So they'll look like they're doing something politically, but then it's going to, you know, it's going to have...
And all it's going to do is add to the already numerous children living in orphanages all over the country.
Yeah. And I saw this funny article about drunk drivers to face higher insurance premiums.
Ooh,
yeah.
There's a threat.
Yeah. No, there's an innovation. You know?
Yeah.
But like I say, ever since they introduced insurance... all the dings and crap I used to see on Korean cars, when I came here in the year 2000, I was surprised how every car I saw on the street had a ding.
Yeah, like if it is a day old, it would have dings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is before insurance. And then they passed a law where, you know, you either get insurance or you go to jail, which seemed like a really great idea.
Yeah.
And so everyone got insurance, and now the driving has really improved here.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
When you're looking, because insurance is pretty expensive here, considering the number of crazy drivers.
Yeah.
And so if you're looking at paying a lot of money, or paying a lot of money plus more money, maybe you could drive like you opened your eyes.
I don't know, but I did see some chump yesterday. You know, I'm walking along and I hear this loud bang crash, and I'm like, oh, I know what that was. And so, you know, of course I always have my camera, and some guy in an SUV was trying to sort of make a turn, and then he got T-boned by one of those little blue bongo trucks. And and then basically the bongo truck T-boned it and then rolled it over on its side, SUV, with, you know, the guy and his family inside.
Oh.
Nobody's wearing seatbelt, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And so, you know, so they're all sort of looking around, well, how do we get the family out, you know? And but luckily it had like a hatchback, so they got him out that way. But yeah, the kid was bleeding and crap, and I'm like... That's what seatbelts are for.
Yeah,
you know,
not
like
just decoration.
Child seats, you know, those kind of things. Wow.
Yeah, child seat, come on.
I got some pictures of that. So. But, you know, if the thing bursts into flames, I'd be the first one there to help save. But you know.
You took pictures of them in their wreck?
Yeah, I got a great picture. You can sort of see the person inside, like, how do I get out? How do I get out? I've been in a car that rolled over, too, so, you know. It's weird, like, to suddenly be in a car that's kind of now on its side, you know, and you have to sort of emerge out from the top like an astronaut or a tank commander or something. I don't know. It's very, very strange. This is, they're coming up with a new 50,000, 100,000 won bill. Yeah. So they're having a face contest.
They've been doing that forever, though.
Oh, yeah.
How many phases is this? Like, there's like 10 people, or it was 10 people.
Okay.
How many phases of this help us decide thing are they going to have?
Oh, have they run this little
trick
before?
It's been going on for like a year or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
maybe those were just like public campaigns.
All right. Well, they keep swearing that they're going to put a woman on one, at least one of them.
Yeah.
And the top candidate's that independence fighter woman. I forget what her name was.
Well, there's the poet and the poet's mother.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, and that always kills me. Like, is the poet's mother famous for something in her own right?
Yeah.
Or, like, and also, by the way, she's this person's mother? Or is that her claim to fame?
Yeah.
That she gave birth?
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, you know, I like the independence fighter because you know, in terms of role models, it's like, well, Anna Green Gables, and that's not really a good Korean role model, you know.
Yeah.
Get something domestic, and so the independence fighter woman, she's kind of a good sort of like ballsy kind of role model, and so I would like to see her on a bill. But you know, she'll go on the 50. She won't go. She won't go on 100. But I guess you know that the big contender, some Korean king from the what's that? How do you pronounce that? Goryeo Kingdom. He's kind of in the North Korea. I guess he was kind of a real expansionist king or something, you know. And but now it's the area that the Chinese claim is theirs.
Yeah, despite the fact that people who live there speak Korean.
Yeah, the Chinese kind of are claiming, well, that it was always a Chinese kingdom, actually. And they're sort of rewriting their history books and web pages, and the Koreans are all pissed off.
So, imagine.
Yeah, I know. So it's like, that flares up. It's like, oh good, this month, you know, China's on the crap list, you know.
Yeah. The Japanese, and by the way, Dokdo is our land.
Yeah, the Japanese and the English teachers were, and then the Americans, you know, we're off that list this month.
Just for, you know, the time being.
Yeah, exactly. I know, our turn will come up again. Just don't you worry, but yeah. And this isn't really news, but I like the headline, phone providers promoting service packages poorly. Phone providers promoting service packages poorly. Phone providers promoting service packages poorly. Just kind of say 10 times fast. Yeah. And then Canadian embassy expelled from the colon. That was it's a building called the Colon Building.
Yeah, that's that. It's a brand.
Yeah, it's a brand, yeah.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, it's Joy Colon. The colon has a store called the Joy Colon, which, you know, I mean, never been my thing, but hey.
Whatever.
Yeah, and, but the Canadian embassy's actually moved now. They've moved now down near Duxagon Palace.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. They're on one side of City Hall, now they're on the other side
of City
Hall.
There's a bunch of embassies in one building there.
All right, yeah, there's a lot of little embassies and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're all like, I don't know, Jamaica or, you know.
Yeah, but the Canadian embassy, they've actually moved into their own genuine building versus, just like a little office above a Family Mart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, there's several in the Kyobo building.
And,
and the offices are like the size of the bathroom, you know. Welcome to the embassy.
Yeah, the ones that I've seen, like when we went to Palace, all the way there.
Yeah, you go by the American embassy, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at the Canadian embassy, it's like, like a little open window or something. And,
The Australian embassy in the Kyobo building, the waiting room is, oh, I want to say like 10 by 14 square feet, you know. It's like...
But I don't know.
Minuscule.
But I'm kind of glad they got themselves a real building now. Just a point of national pride, you know.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
It's like Canada and Korea are huge trading partners, and, you know, there's that free trade agreement we're signing, and you'll notice there are no protests on the street. People lighting themselves on fire about the...
Canadians.
Yeah, the Canadian FTA, right?
Or the EU FTA, or whatever FTAs they have. I think there's a South American one, too, or something. But, you know, it's just America. We're the root of all evil.
And then Gap, that's yours. That's what root of your evil, the Gap.
Yeah.
And then Roots, that's ours, Canadian. The Canadian Gap. They're both coming to Korea. Roots and Gap.
Ooh, I wonder if they'll have, like, the $2 sales like they have at Gap in America.
We don't have those in Canada. We don't have those in Canada.
Oh, okay.
$2 sales. Wow, that would be great, actually.
Oh, no, what it is, like, it's... The longer something is on the shelf, the more it gets marked down. So by the time it's, like, the last one left,
really?
It's, like, a couple of dollars.
Wow.
So what you do is you, like, go and hide something.
That's rather clever.
Hide it well.
Wow. Man. But, well, it sounds exciting for us, kind of, like... We're used to our North American sizes, you know, going to the Gap and going to Roots.
Yeah, they're
going to
have,
like
the plus size with, you know, size 5.
Yeah, at least I know the Gap is just really a name licensed by Shinsegae. So it's going to be 105 will be the biggest size, which is sort of what they call extra large. It's kind of like a large, it's like a medium large to a large our size. And not like the resized large, extra large, where, you know, extra large maybe was before extra, extra large, and large is, you know, is an extra large. You know, that kind of stuff. But no. It's like the old, like, the sizes from, like, maybe the 80s and 90s where they're really large, extra large. I don't know.
And they're going to be super expensive anyway. You know, like, I'd kind of forgotten until I went home and saw some Levi's on, you know, for like $40 or something. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $100 for a pair of stinking Levi's.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Oh, you know, you mentioned the 50 won deposit on the to-go cups.
Yeah.
Not so much an English t-shirt find, but more of a freaky foreigner. He was in Coffee Bean, and...
What, you were being unfaithful?
I go there sometimes. My pinka card. My pinka card. Got it. Sometimes I get some stamps on that. But, So it was really, really, really busy, and foreigner comes in, and Whitey, and sits at a table, and then his espresso is ready. So he gets up, goes to get his espresso, but he leaves his table unmarked, doesn't even leave his scent on it or anything like that. It's just empty. So a couple Korean people come, sit down, and he sort of looks and sees it's been taken. So I felt kind of bad, and I was sort of trying to look to maybe catch his eyes and invite him to sit with you, me and my friend or whatever. But it's kind of like, people, he must have been from Michigan because he cut the sleeves off of his t-shirt.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he had a tattoo. So not a GI, but...
Wannabe.
Yeah.
But, GI wannabe.
Because his hair was kind of long and bushy, and so, I don't know, maybe a contractor. But... So he's looking around for another place to sit, and it's full. And so he goes back up and he wants a to-go cup, but then they want 50 won from him. So he just starts, like, shouting at them, like, you know, like...
In English.
Yeah, in English. Like, I want to talk to your manager, you know, as if this is worth 50 won.
Well,
50 won
is...
5 cents.
Half a cent.
50 won?
Is it? Oh, no, you're right. No,
yeah, 5 cents.
5 cents. Oh, yeah. Still, 5 cents.
Yeah.
And it's mandated.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, what was this 50 won thing? For 50 won, you could...
These cups cost 50 won.
Oh, and it was... His got thrown away or something?
No. He didn't want to pay it when he decided to leave instead of stay because there was no chairs.
Yeah. So he just thought, they're trying to rip me off or something. Yeah. I know. So I'm like, well... You can't sit with me. Now I'm embarrassed.
Now that you're crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
And reflecting bad on me because I'm white too.
I know. I am embarrassed for my white race. I don't know. But last week we were speaking about panties.
Yeah.
And now I noticed that you see Namja panty.
What's Namja panty?
Namja boy.
Boy. Oh, or male. Yeah, male.
But if you see Korean men's underwear, there's reason why it's called panties. I'm sorry. Those are not men's underwear.
Oh, right. Okay. You do get the...
If they're lacy and if they have, like, I don't know, if they just are completely girly looking, saying they're for men does not make it so.
Yeah, I got to know the underwear one of my neighbors would wear. Because, like, it's summertime, they, like, leave the door open.
And be in his underwear?
Yeah, he kind of walk by. And it's just, like, kind of wearing the little ultra small briefs. Like, not even, like, bigger briefs. Just, like the little, like, male stripper briefs.
Like, one step from a thong.
Yeah. But this is also... And I've talked about this before. This is kind of all-year-round housewear, too. Where, you don't put on warmer things. You just crank up the heat. Walk around in your little underwear boxer briefs. Yeah, which is just really weird. Because I'm Canadian, so I just wear... multiple layers of clothes in the winter.
Yeah, because you're going to run up that heating bill.
Yeah.
You know, anybody in America that has a mom knows you don't run up the heating bill.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Gas ain't cheap here.
Yeah.
But then there's Namja panty, and then I saw, I didn't get a photo of that, But I did see some underwear called Rich Pig Underwear.
Oh. Awesome.
Yeah. And
Victoria's Secret, watch out.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, oh, geez, Rich Pig. Okay, you know, my socialist student newspaper days, I may have used that term a lot, but not in a marketing kind of, you know, hey, why don't you buy this kind of sense, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It had other implications, you know, Rich Pig. But yeah, again, I guess, you know, pig in a lot of Asia has very positive connotations, I think, you know,
yeah.
Kind of wealth and year of the pig and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, but Rich, yeah. I don't know
one
how
of those one. Cultural things that just doesn't translate.
Yeah. You have a list. You had some English t-shirt finds.
I did. None of them are proper English, as in they all make sense. They're
all
just
right.
Weird. First, yesterday at COEX, there was a woman with a shirt that had a big kind of rhinestone heart.
Okay.
And in the middle of the heart, it said, I love my hooker.
I love my hooker. And you didn't get a picture of that?
Sorry, no. I'm really bad with getting the pictures because
okay.
I'm too slow.
Okay.
Someone was walking around with one that said Seventh Armadillo Christmas.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming was actually some sort of event, maybe.
All right.
A woman wearing a shirt that said Feel Like Seal, Deja Vu, Why Not Every Day.
All right.
And a woman in Gangnam with a shirt that said, avoid costly cesspool repairs. Because apparently, cesspools are a big problem in Gangnam.
I can tell, yeah. little awareness campaign that's going
yeah,
around or
yeah.
something, right? Yeah.
And, I mean, I thought that was really funny, of all the parts of Seoul, to see that
all
in
right.
Gangnam. And I saw a guy with a t-shirt on that said, Way of the Scooter.
Way of the Scooter, okay.
Yeah.
Man.
All right.
You know, I tried the that pasta in a waffle, sugar waffle
yum.
Cone. I keep walking by there, and I noticed, A, there's never any customers.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, they stand outside the place kind of, like, looking, where are the hordes of customers we were promised, you know?
Yeah. What place is this, or what kind of place?
It's just sort of down the street from here, actually.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a restaurant, and they put spaghetti in like a sugar waffle cone like you'd put ice cream in, go to Baskin Robbins. Yeah. And it's horrifying. And
but someone obviously thought that would be a really good marketing ploy.
Exactly, because it just, you know, they'd be like
the novelty.
Yeah.
The deliciousness.
It'd be like Dawn of the Dead. They'd be pounding on the windows to get in to get the pasta in a waffle cone. And yeah, so they look very, very sad. So the other day, I actually dragged my friend there. I'm like, I'm going to buy you dinner. She's like, okay, but you can't say no. All right. So, yeah. So we went in, and it was actually, you know, it was better than I imagined.
Really not be hard, because you would have to imagine it being really bad.
Better than the strawberry cheese, that's
again,
for sure.
That would
yeah.
not be hard.
Yeah. But the it was not too expensive either. It's like, you know, like $3-4 for a pasta waffle cone.
So could you eat the spaghetti without actually getting
yeah.
the taste of the waffle
sure,
cone?
Sure, yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah. But then you can, but this, so it's like, you know, like your dessert after kind of thing. Which,
okay, so it's pasta served inside of this cone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thought it was like the spaghetti is turned into a cone.
Yeah. But if you think about it, it's like, well, ketchup is already used as a pastry topping here anyways.
Right.
So it's not that much of a leap from, you know, cone, waffle cone, ketchup.
Mayonnaise.
And since we're already making, you know, and these people over here are putting their pasta in the ketchup,
yeah.
why not just put them all, stack it all together?
It's,
yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking, the evolution of. Oh, but I did figure something out. Remember a few weeks ago there was that English t-shirt, Mickey is a burn leader, right? But I keep seeing these t-shirts about Mickey. Mickey's very popular here, Mickey Mouse, and
yes.
like Black Mickey, and the ear logo. I don't know. But the little silhouette of Mickey's head that's... And again, I'm sure royalties are not going to Disney Corporation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now owned by ABC, I guess. Or ABC owns the Disney Corporation. Anyway, so But I see, I saw another t-shirt, you know, Mickey is the leader. All these t-shirts promoting Mickey as some kind of leader. And I began to think, well, a leader of what? You know, like, oh, what is he lead? I don't know.
The revolution.
Yeah. And then I thought about the burn leader, and then I saw a sign, Dolce Vita. So I'm like, what the hell's Vita? Vita. And then I realized, oh, you know, the B and the V. Yeah. Koreans use B for V, Dolce Vita, sweet life. And so I'm like, and somehow in my mind that then made the connection, burn leader, probably meant born leader. Mickey is a born leader, not burn leader. So just it was, because you take the English at face value, you don't sort of go, well, if it's a real legitimate word, then that's what they meant. You don't sort of go, they just
which other legitimate word could they have meant?
Exactly. Yeah, so I figured that out. And then I got this great notebook, where on the notebook it says, can you offer me any advice? And then it lists the advice. So it says, try something new for a change. All right. The laughter is healing. Okay, strange use of a preposition, article, but fine. All right. Don't let this opportunity get away from you. Good, you know, seize the day, you know, tides in the affairs of men, yada, yada, yada. Do the things you like, and success will come naturally. All right, that's always good advice. I'll do my best, okay? You're no match for me. So it kind of ends on a bit of a down note there.
Well, you know. I like how it changes from offering advice to, like, I'll do my best, kind of a mantra kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, the you're no match for me, which I would also think is more of a mantra thing, hopefully, than like a threat.
Okay. Exactly.
You know, like don't be intimidated by other people.
Okay. You know? I just thought maybe the advice guy was like, but you know, you gotta realize your limitations.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, I'm the gold standard. You may be the silver standard. Oh, you know, the Starbucks. I was at Starbucks. Surprise. Yesterday, at the Nucor department store near Banpo. And you know Homever?
Yes.
Yeah, right. They were bought. Yeah.
I know Homever very well.
Yeah, those filthy bastards. They were bought out. The Carrefour was bought out by Eland. Okay. And now the Eland people are all on strike.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I guess these women who work behind the watch counters and stuff, they've turned out to be very violent strikers. So they were having one of their strikes in front of the Nucor department store, and there's a Starbucks in there, and you know,
you had to cross the line.
Scabby, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I mean, the whole department store was just surrounded by riot police. They had a water cannon, and there's just all these Ajumas, sort of camping out and like listening to somebody rallying their morals or something. I don't know. And, they got their little water bottles and rolls of kimbap. And the doors are all padlocked except for one door. So you had to go all around these people, go into the Starbucks. And then, so I got into the Starbucks. Fine. Huh. And, yeah. But
you really wanted that coffee.
Yeah. Well, no, I wanted to steal the cup, right? Oh. But maybe, I mean, now that I think about it, I'm trying to steal a cup while the place is surrounded by police.
Yeah.
Maybe it was best that they gave me the takeout and I wasn't sort of like trying to caught slipping that in there. Yeah. But but those riot cops are just young guys.
Yeah.
And they're frequently injured by the people there.
Oh, no.
Because none of them really weigh more than like 110 pounds.
No, yeah. So,
And they carry what, clubs?
Shields and clubs, and they wear helmets. Yeah. I mean, they're pretty well outfitted. They're just small.
Yeah. So I saw a couple kind of in the corner, sort of like resting. So when I left, I bought them some chocolate from. I gave them some chocolate from.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they just sort of looked like, why is he giving us chocolate? Not beating us on the head and trying to take our shields, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seem quite pleased, happy. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I saw a demonstration yesterday too. And I was hoping that Anne would get to see it, but Anne got on the wrong bus, so...
Oh, really?
She missed
my first by-myself bus experience.
Yeah, but it was such a great Korean demonstration. it was a large group, maybe 30, 40 women sitting on the ground in perfect silence, listening to someone, like, thanking them for coming, even though it was so hot. And there was at least one entire busload of riot police sitting lined up just around the corner, like, right out of sight, so as not to, like, incite them.
Okay, all right.
I was like, I saw the riot police first, and I was like, what are they doing over here? Because it was, like, across the street from the embassy.
Right.
Like, shouldn't they be, like, right out in front, like usual? And then I went, you know, five steps further, and I saw the women all sitting there perfectly calm and quietly being thanked for their support. And, like, it was the most peaceful demonstration I think that they possibly could have had, unless the woman with the microphone had just shut up.
Okay. Wow. Well, what, these new core department store workers, ELAND people, I guess they're, they were like contract workers. And then
they're trying to get the full-time benefits.
Yeah, and so then they kind of were, it was a lockout, really. It wasn't actually a strike, it was a lockout. And and then they, like, you know, were, you know, protesting, and then ELAND hired, like, goons, strike breakers, to sort of, you know, bust their heads. Can you imagine, like, gangsters beating up Ajumas, you know?
I know.
And you know, but that's a fair fight, actually, I think, when it comes right down to it.
They just have to watch out for those elbows.
Yeah.
They're no match.
So, yeah, so it's just, so that's why the cops are totally out in force. And I mean, it just basically surrounded the department store with their little buses to, like, just to sort of control.
It's ELAND.
ELAND, just a company.
It's a company.
Yeah, a company that sort of, like, a whole, you know, owns department stores. Now they own whomever. Those rat bastards. But,
Carrefour is sadly missed.
I saw...
Although whomever does have tortillas.
Really? I'll have to check that out. Okay. All right. Oh, maybe I'll have to revise my opinion a little bit. I don't know. I'm just when their store baked bread went from 90 cents to 2.50.
Oh yeah.
You know, that was
because they've got, like, a nice bakery in there now.
Yeah, that was it for me.
But if you go look by the peanut butter, they've got cheaper bread.
But not the good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it tastes like bread versus, like, you know, like whipped cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. I saw another Viking buffet.
This was I love the Viking buffet. I've never actually been inside. I just like the name.
Nor have I.
This is a well-being marine products salad and lunch Viking buffet. So marine products. That was the first one. Well, well-being. Haha. And then marine products. I'm like, marine products. Shrimp, corn, cob, and anchor salad. You know, like, because marine products, yes, could be like seafood, but marine products may be like things, you know, like...
Yeah,
nets and, you know, those kind of things. I don't know, like diesel engines. Yeah, and then the Viking buffet.
Lunch Viking.
Yeah, lunch Viking. The lunch Vikings. Yeah. Ooh, they were feared in Scotland. You know, when they would sort of come in their little
their lunchtime raids.
Yeah,
because
they had those longboats, but they were kind of like silver, right?
Yeah.
And then with the little doors that they would sort of flip up. And they would have all their little sandwiches and their little things of milk and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. And then the nuns would all come and go, "Oh, I'm hungry!" And then they would jump out. And they would rape the nuns. And
the boats were protected by huge sneeze guards.
Oh, those lunch Vikings. Yeah. Oh. And the other thing that confuses me is the drains.
Yeah.
Sewers, right?
Yeah.
Right. So sewers, the water goes into them.
Yeah.
Right.
As
rain water. Right. And this prevents flooding.
Yes.
All right. And so what they do is they block all of the drains with, like, rubber mats and pieces of cardboard and wood.
Who needs drainage systems?
All the Ajushi guards in all the apartment complexes, they block all of their drains.
What, so leaves and stuff don't go in and clog it?
Well, I had two theories. I had actually hypotheses. Hypothesi or hypotheses?
I don't know.
Hypotheses.
All right, hypotheses. So I had two. Well, yeah, one was, I had three. One was maybe, like, smell.
Okay.
Maybe, like...
Maybe there's gas coming up?
Yeah. bad smells are coming out. So I thought, okay, maybe that's one. But I don't notice the bad smell coming from, because the garbage.
Because
the garbage, maybe. Yeah, because the garbage is just overpowering whatever smell might be coming out of the, you know. So, yeah. So that was my one hypothesis. And then my other hypothesis was, garbage, because they're also used as a trash can.
Yeah.
By people who pass by. You'll see people like just sort of drop their trash down the the uncovered.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to me, just considering how set up the trash disposal here is, like in Starbucks, for example.
Yeah, inside buildings, but the city is really bad about providing any sort of trash receptacle whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's three main trash receptacles. There's storm drains. Storm drains. The back of any pickup truck, or just under any city vehicle. Just throw it on any city vehicle. Yeah.
And they drive off.
I don't know.
Trashy.
Yeah.
Or if one person litters, then that will become
the
litter.
Yeah.
Right. The new dump.
Right. Garbage can by acclaim. And, on my walk to the subway, there's an apartment complex, and they've got, like a garden. Between the fence and the apartments, there's, like, a little garden. And every single tree has a huge sign, which I think is I see Suregi, which is pleading with people, that's not for your trash.
Yeah.
And, you know, which, of course...
In case you thought it was a garbage tree.
Yeah. Yeah. But you go by, and it's just littered with trash, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've been so spoiled in Boondong because I just don't see trash.
A little bit more ordered there, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the storm drains. And my third one was I just thought it was like overzealous territorial ajushi guards. Like, you know, not on my watch. You're going to use my drain. You know, that kind of thing. Like, you got to clear it through me before you can go down that drain, you water. I don't know. So, but then I noticed somebody actually installed like a fine mesh on one of the drains. So I think, okay, so I think that's the leaf twig garbage hypothesis that sort of answers that. So yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense when you consider that you're not even really supposed to flush toilet paper down the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always do, even at places where they have a fine posted. If you flush the toilet paper and it clogs the drain, this is the fine. I don't care.
Really?
I still flush it.
Wow. Too bad.
Might be a little too much information, but there you go.
I can't read that. Wow. One of the ladies who works at Starbucks, she just came in, and she's wearing her street clothes. And I only know them in their uniforms. And so I just sort of saw her coming into the room where they get ready. She was wearing her street clothes. So I'm like, oh, she's quite attractive when she's wearing her street clothes. Usually they just have an apron and a polo shirt and stuff like that. Yeah, but you people can't see, so we don't know. Sorry, it's not a video podcast. So the blocking the drains when it's raining like this, it kind of self-defeats the whole purpose of the drain.
Yeah, really. Although it does make good sense to have some kind of straining device because the rain has been heavy enough. I've seen quite a few downed branches, and once like large amounts of debris start going in the storm drains, it backs up anyway.
That's true, too.
But completely covering it with a rubber mat
doesn't need to even
worse than letting it block up.
And then my last kind of crazy thing was I actually pasted some pictures into our little agenda.
Yeah.
So you can see the picture. It's like it was outside of Tim Hortons. They had this thing where you would stand on a block of ice in your bare feet, and if you could stand there for X amount of time, you got like a free mug or something like that. But yeah, but
they just have a block of ice at Tim Hortons.
Do they still have ice bars here, or was that a passing trend?
Ice like as a summer treat.
What it was a bar.
Okay.
A hof, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And under the tables were like it's like a canal network of ice.
Oh.
No. And so you could like take off your shoes and put your feet on the ice. Carl's a fan already.
Yeah. I don't go to a lot of bars here anyway. So.
Yeah, I think that might have just been like a 1 year trend.
Okay, all right. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I thought that would probably last until either someone slipped and fell because it melted or, until like the freezing mechanism wasn't properly working. Whatever.
Liability? Tort?
Liability, what? Come on. This is Korea.
Yeah. So, but then you notice in the picture, of course, you know, that they also have to have the leggy, short skirt kind of little models and stuff. And not just one, like, I think that picture only shows one, but there were like three or four sort of running around that one.
I see a couple more with the hats on.
Okay,
yeah,
running around that one little block of ice. Man. God, where was I yesterday? I was in some store where, it was a little store, and you know, every aisle had like two women working the aisle. And you know, there were like more people working in there than there were customers. Huh. And I'm like, I can't get by anybody.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But I guess if they don't have to pay them, if they're just hired on as temporary workers getting crap wages, then why not have 87 people working?
This week's teaching opportunity.
And job opportunity of the week. This is coming to us from our footprints recruiting.com site. And recruiting for public school again. It's coming up on that season. It's August now. September will be upon us. And I don't know. I keep hearing worse and worse things about the public school jobs that they're...
I think they were probably the best when they first started it, like where there were some afternoon-only gigs.
All right.
Ones where you got off the same holidays the kids got off and all that. But now you see a lot with no housing, like 2 weeks vacation.
Okay.
Because the rest of the time you have to be there and maybe teach teachers or whatever.
Okay.
All day scheduling, whatever.
And it used to be like the holiday time, like, because the kids get a month off in winter, a month off in summer.
Yeah, but some of the schools make the teachers go in anyway.
Yeah, so one used to kind of get that time off, and now they're kind of like they're farming you out to like little summer programs and winter programs.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, you still kind of get like your 2 weeks vacation.
Yeah, those, but it's not the cake deal that it used to be.
Yeah, but I mean, the cake deal was good because you had the large classroom size, you know, 30 kids or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I got 30 kids, but then I get lots of time off sort of thing. So that was the compensation. But, you know, but if they're just now turning it into, you know, a hagwon, but with, you know, 2 to 3 times the kids in the classroom, then... Well, where's the advantage?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not so much, especially because their pay tends to be at the bottom of the scale.
Yeah.
Like, if you do not either have a master's or actual certification, like TESOL certification, then they tend to start you off below $2 million.
Yeah. Well, this is salary, 1.8 to 2.7.
Yeah, I'm guessing that 2.7 is probably someone like... with a master's or PhD, dream on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Real teaching credentials?
And
what?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
And also, they do give increments for certain types of public school experience.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's a typical salary for this kind of thing?
Well, hagwon.
At least, I mean, $2 million.
Yeah, two is pretty much the base these days. I haven't seen a 1.8 or 1.7 job since 2003. Yeah, salaries have definitely moved up, but I don't know. So yeah, if you're kind of now just working like a hagwon and getting 1.8 and 30 kids in a classroom,
yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Getting quite a raw deal. I mean, maybe you get the free school cafeteria lunch. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen those. They don't look very delicious.
How many kids and do you have in a class? Hmm? How many kids do you have in a class and?
I have five in one class. Well, two classes with five
each.
And then one class with three.
Three. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like before I came here, I was expecting like 20 kids per class. Right. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Like a normal class.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Our school has a maximum of 7.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, sometimes I have like 2 kids in a class, but it could range from like 2 to 14.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, 14 if it's all head down work, you know, like grammar or something, but I'm teaching speaking, and I've complained about this many times before. When it's speaking, 14 kids in a 40-minute class speaking, well, you do the math, 40 divided by 14.
Yeah.
5 minutes, no. It's not even 4 minutes of speaking per kid. And then when you're getting them all settled down and, you know, and then when you remove all the teacher play game, you know, begging.
Then now you're down to 20 minutes.
Yeah. So it's insane. But, hey, I'm not the one who's lying to the mothers.
Your conscience is clean.
Yeah. So I don't know. So, yeah. But, we'll investigate this teacher thing.
Yeah, well,
this public school thing.
If you look at some of the responsibilities, they have to teach their classes, of course, prepare materials, assist with development of materials, assist with other activities, including judging speech contests, voice recording, listening comprehension tests, English camps. You know, so they've got a pretty long list of what they're required to do in addition to teaching. And then it says you have no choice in your placement.
Yeah.
They tell you what school you've got to go to.
Yeah. But as long as it's Seoul, that wouldn't be a problem. But they can have interesting schools, like specialized schools here, like high schools. Like they have like computer, you know, animation, pottery, like our first co-host, whatever her name was. Sarah. Sorry, Sarah, if you still listen. my name buffer is shot. I can't remember anybody's name for too long. But, Sarah. And she taught in a pottery school. Yeah, so you kind of get placed in pottery, not party school.
Oh.
Yeah. Louisiana State, is that, are you thinking? No.
Right.
But, so if you get kind of placed in one of those funky schools, that might be kind of cool, but I don't know. That's our show. That's always a lie when I say that's our show.
Can we go on for like 20 more minutes?
There could be 10 more minutes of that's our show, but I don't have music to introduce the exit portion of our, so I gotta have something in there to sort of, that's our show. I think sometimes, well, just putting a beep kind of thing in there. That's what they do in the Babylon 5 podcast for some reason or another. I don't know. But the greatest piece of journalism ever in the history of journalism.
Starting with the title.
Yeah.
How much is that doggy in the menu?
Yeah. It's a doggy in the menu. It's a brilliant headline reading, and as maybe the headline suggests, it's all about the health benefits of dog meat. Yeah.
Yes, these are the dog days, and so it's time to eat your dog meat.
Yeah. Right. And what I like about this is, not only is it just no winking apologies to the consumption of dog meat, it's just a straight, like, let's talk about eating dog meat as if, you know, pork, is it back on the menu these days? Is it not on the menu? You know, is they, you know, their bullet points, they use little dogs for their bullet points.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, check her out. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but I like the... They actually had 2 nutrition experts. One is a Hanyak, you know, Korean traditional herbal medicine specialist, a professor, not only.
Yeah.
And the other one is a nutritionist, also, I believe, a professor of some nature.
Yeah. Western style nutrition.
The Hanyak guy ends up making Hanyak sound like snake oil extraordinaire.
You noticed that too.
Like, everything he does is, he says, well, because our. Hanyak is solely based on ancestors' beliefs.
Yeah, we believe.
And, like, basically, saying we have closed our mind to science and technology and increases in knowledge because we are only based on what our ancestors knew.
Yeah.
But I did. Did you read the explanation of the dog liquor?
No.
It is traditionally made with dog penis. Because apparently
right,
that's
yes.
the
best part.
Liquor-y, the most liquor goodness can be derived from the penis.
Right.
And it's just a double boiled dog that is then fermented. So it's dog juice.
Oh, great.
Really.
Okay. Dog penis juice.
Dog penis juice,
oh.
Yes.
And then your vagina wet tissue kind of keep on the side there. You know,
yeah.
clean up.
Wipe your brow.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, it was like because the nutritionist is kind of like, you know, it's got this much protein and this much, you know,
I loved that,
cholesterol.
How they explained that it's like actually lower than every other main kind of meat. But mysteriously,
yeah.
It puts more energy in your body.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Oriental guy's like, well, dog meat is a hot meat. And because chicken is a cool meat, you know, and you're just sort of like,
what?
Yeah, exactly. What? You know, like, why is a dog a hot meat? And because our ancestors believed this.
Yes.
All right, you know. I don't know.
It's a great souvenir for me to bring home.
You, yeah, and you kept that. You kind of cut that for your little scrapbook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have somewhere an article on fan death, which if I get motivated, I might try to find for her to take home.
What I think KBS or something, they actually have a web page, and it's actually trying to disabuse Koreans of the notion of fan death.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's all in Korean, so I got to rely on the other foreigners who know Korean. But yeah, and they actually argue that a fan could be healthy. Yeah.
But it's sucking all of the oxygen out of the air. How could that possibly be healthy?
Yeah. You ever see the Seoul Police Board?
No.
Like the police board, they have a board, like an English board, where you can go and, you know, if your roommate is like selling drugs, you can report him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I really feel bad for the poor Korean cop who knows English who has to sort of read that board. Because, I mean, everything's like, you know, my roommate came into my room and turned two fans on and then closed the door. Can you arrest him for attempted murder? It's all just nasty, nasty.
Oh, my God.
You know, because when we do it, it's not nasty. But, you know, when you post it on a police board, then that's nasty. But, you know, it's just...
Yeah, when you're trying to get your roommate... deported after a prison sentence.
Yeah. And so it's just a lot of like these things. And the poor police person actually answers them in kind of straight. Like, you know, like, I don't know what they said about the about the fan one, but there was something about, you know, this guy is on this teacher message board and he is saying bad things about Korea. Can you arrest him? And, you know, I'm like, well, the message board is not located in Korea, so it is out of our jurisdiction, so we cannot take action.
Prosecute him for exercising his right to free speech.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So, the dog meat article is quite wonderful. And I don't know, you know, it doesn't look all that tasty, actually, the pictures.
No,
the pictures
my Korean
have.
Teachers, when I was studying Korean back in the States, they told me that it was a masculine thing to eat because it's really tough and stringy and fatty.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
So women usually can't stomach it.
Yeah. But I got to say, what you put in your mouth, I have no issues with. I have no, if you want to eat dog... Some things I put in my mouth, people might have moral.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we're from Louisiana.
Problems.
People
yeah.
eat some things problems. That other people wouldn't
exactly.
eat in other places.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I think, if I eat cow, pig, whatever, people should be able to eat dog, no problem, right?
Right.
I think it's just when people cross the line of eating something, like eating a dog when they have a dog for a pet. Like, I think that's really weird.
Well, you know, I make the point, it's like, well, you know, you have a parrot. As a pet, but you eat chicken, you know.
Yeah, but you we had chickens, and we didn't eat those chickens, but we still ate chicken.
Yeah, there you go, Jennifer. Thanks.
I mean...
But yeah, I mean, my only issue is like, well, you know, okay. And I mean, slaughterhouses aren't necessarily as ethically run as they should be. And by the same token, you know, when you put a dog in a burlap sack and tie it to a tree and then whack the sack with a stick to, you know, freak the dog out because it does something supposedly...
The adrenaline.
Yeah, to the meat. Okay, that's not the best way to...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do have people email me sometimes who are like, do Koreans really eat dogs? And because, and I've heard this too from Koreans in North America, and it is, it's something they get insulted a lot, like Korean Americans, right? You know, it's like, you know, oh, you're eating dogs. So naturally they're going to be very, very defensive about that, because dogs are not food in North America, and it's the worst possible thing you could ever eat in, to North Americans, right? You know, so they're very sort of defensive about it, I think, at times, because they've gotten all the jokes and insults and Jay Leno, you know, that sort of stuff. And so I think there's kind of a polite fiction that, you know, Koreans don't eat dogs these days, right? That it's not...
Right.
Yeah. That it's like, well, it's, you know, they used to in the times past, but it's... Yeah.
There's a big honking sign in Meegum Station pointing out the closest dog restaurant.
Yeah. And yeah, I know, and there was a restaurant I would walk by every day. It's now a shoe store. But before it used to say, you know, Boshin Tong Arrow, you know?
Yeah.
So, dog soup, right. So, anyways, so, yeah, Koreans definitely eat it here, and it was off the menu for a while during, like, World Cup and the Olympics and stuff like that, but, you know, they brought it back, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, I've got no issues, but.
Hopefully we'll have a day off when there's a market day, so I can take Anne to Moron Market and show her the find the dog stalls.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Chungmaro. No, not Chungmaro. Yeah, Chungmaro. There's a one stop north of Myeongdong Station. Yeah, there's the. But that's not the dog. That's not the dog meat district. It's actually the dog. Pet district,
shop. Yeah, no, but Moron is obviously meat dogs because they're full grown.
Okay, meat dogs. Pet or meat. Remember that from, what was that, Michael Moore's first movie, where the woman kills the rabbits and she's got the sign, you know, pet, or she sells them for pets or she sells them for meat. Yeah, pet or meat. Mm. But I caught some of that Sponge TV.
Oh, did you?
And I realized, you know what I gotta do is I have to watch these Korean comedy shows because...
you don't deserve that.
No, no. It answers a billion questions I have about what are my kids talking about.
Okay.
Have you noticed your kids have all started going, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Like, it's sync.
Yeah, this weird, like, deep-throated, what? And I
need to start watching this show. Apparently,
it's some comedian that does. That's his, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a wild and crazy guy, or something like that. You know, that's his line.
Okay.
I'm a wild and crazy guy, and
huh?
I'm a wild and crazy guy, and whose
sure
signature?
She has no idea.
Oh my god.
We'll just let
I woke up this morning and shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got my pajamas, I'll never know.
She's far too young.
I'm a wild and crazy guy. That was Steve Martin. And Groucho Marx, who's, I woke up this morning, shot an elephant.
Groucho Marx, that's like 1,000 years ago.
Alice to the moon, Alice.
Stop.
Jackie Gleason, honeymooners. All right.
Far too young.
So, this what guy. And, I got, that's where the kids are getting it from. And then
they all laugh and they say it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this other thing, Monkey 3, Monkey 5. Have you, your kids?
No.
Yeah.
I laughed about monkeys, maybe that was why.
Okay. I guess there's these two comedians. The one has a t-shirt that says Monkey 3, and the other has a t-shirt that says Monkey 5.
Wow, that is clever.
Yeah, I don't know.
The forehead man thing was popular for a while.
Oh, right. Remember the guy would whap his forehead. Yeah. Your kids would just jump out of their chair spontaneously and start doing that forehead whapping dance.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like...
What the subtlety heck? And nuance of Korean comedy.
Yeah. You know, if they were like frothing at the mouth, you would let, you know, put a ruler to keep their tongue down, and you would think there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
But yeah. But you kind of got to go, okay, I've been here long enough. I don't know what they're doing, but I know this is something from UCC or a computer game or a Sponge TV or Comedy SBS or I don't know, but it's something. But yeah, so you definitely got to watch that, I think. Saturdays. I was like Saturday morning on one of the SBS or something. They have some cavalcade of Korean comedy or something. And I took some pictures and some video of it too.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I think I want to do before I leave kind of an analysis of Korean comedy. That,
you know, take pictures of
the TV show. Yeah, TV show. But so I've got this theory that as you watch a Korean comedy show, the odds of one of the guys putting on a dress approaches one in about 3 or 4 hours. So someone always puts on a dress.
I would say, yeah, like that's a bet that you could not get in a betting shop because it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no odds available on that one. It's just going to happen.
Wow. All right. So there's no Cotisol again this month?
No. It will be the third week of September with me.
Okay.
And Bruce, I'll be doing 1 hour. He'll be doing 1 hour.
Bruce?
All about...
Is he Australian?
Actually, he's from New Zealand.
Ah, close enough. Don't tell him I said that, but close enough.
We'll both be presenting on young learner activities.
Okay, good.
He's got like 30 years of elementary education experience, so he is a wealth of information.
All right, cool. And Anne, how much longer are you here for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So
I fly out the day after camp.
The day after camp finishes. Okay. What day is the day is that?
2 weeks from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so you might only be here next week's show. All right. But there might not be a next week's show because I'm going to do my hotel thing.
Are you?
Yeah, where I go on vacation from Seoul, in Seoul. I just go to the other side of the river. So, yeah. So I think next week I don't care anymore. I don't care if it rains, whatever. Yeah.
All right.
So I don't think there's going to be a show next week. But I think this is kind of an extra long show this week.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so. We could talk.
We've
rambled on
longer than usual.
How are those muffins? Are the muffins good?
The muffin was really good. It's got like craisins.
Craisins?
You know craisins?
Cranberries and raisins?
Dried sweetened cranberries.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a blueberry muffin, but instead of blueberries, it's got craisins, and it's quite tasty.
Podo hay. What's raisin in Korean?
Oh, konpodo.
Kwan?
Konpodo.
Okay.
Like dried.
All right.
Great.
Mandulda to make, my way of remembering that. Man, like man-made. Made. Mandulda. Man. Man-made.
Yeah.
You get the man from man-made. I don't know. That's how I remember Mandulda. All right. We could go now.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And, bye.
Yeah. I guess maybe not see you next weekend after, but then, Anne, if we don't do a podcast next week, then good luck.
All right.
All right.
Thank
thanks
you.
For being on, Anne.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.